Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. I am your host, Diane Sorensen, certified life coach, hypnotherapy practitioner, mother, grandmother, and human fascinated with behavior and how to live our best life. My goal is to offer you another perspective, to see behavior in ourselves, our children, and others from another angle. This podcast is for anyone who wants to feel more connected in their relationships. It's for anyone who feels the pull for something more. It's for parents and those who are not. This podcast is for anyone who wants to take a deeper look, because this is where we talk about breaking generational patterns and outdated cultural beliefs, cultivating deeper connections in our life, and leading our life with more confidence and clarity. And I believe that's when beautiful behavior comes into focus. You can learn more about my process, me, and the three different ways in which beautiful behavior could come into focus for you at my website at dianesorensen.net. That's dianesorensen.net. Okay, listeners, let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. Thank you for being here. And something that has been coming up lately, I thought we would talk about here this week, and that is how to handle negativity, like how to handle someone who's being negative or has a negative attitude. And a lot of times this could be, you know, a child, or it might be someone else, might be a coworker, you know, whatever. And I guess the first thing I would ask is, what is your relationship with negativity? What did you learn about negativity, or what do you believe about negativity or something that's negative? Because I think oftentimes we learn, we get the message that negativity is a bad thing, or being negative is wrong. Or like in my case, I got the message that people liked people who were positive, or that's what my, you know, that's what I made it mean, that if I was positive, people would like me. And so if we learned not to be negative, or we heard, you know, and this might be not because necessarily we were told don't be negative, but it might be you overheard a parent or a teacher talking about somebody else who's negative, and we decide, ooh, I don't want to be that, because we want to be liked. We want to be accepted. So when negativity shows up in our life, then in a situation or in another person, it will trigger us. And like I always say, trigger isn't about the other person or anything external. The trigger is within us. A trigger is an experience that has not been resolved, an upsetting experience that has gone unresolved. And so the trigger, these uncomfortable feelings, are trying to get our attention to say there's something here to work through, so then it can be released. And in this case, it may be negativity. So sometimes we can be so averse to negative that we overcompensate for positive, making, you know, everything has to be positive. And this is what I did earlier in my life. I overcompensated and made everything super positive. And I got a lot of gold stars for that, right? I got a lot of validation for, oh, you're so positive. Oh, I just love how you're so positive. Although sometimes it was, you know, the toxic positivity where it was, oh, gag me. How, you know, it was kind of dismissive, where I was denying the negative, you know, whatever was happening that was negative, or somebody, you know, talking about their experience, and then me, instead of, you know, listening to them, I just turn around to say, oh, well, let's look at it this way, which again is dismissive. It's not helpful. And in fact, my oldest became kind of averse to positivity because I was so overly positive that it really gave her, you know, I wasn't listening to her and giving her a way to respond to how she was actually feeling. And so she felt very dismissed and unheard and unsupported. I couldn't be with her negative feelings because I couldn't be with mine. And, you know, we label it negative because they're uncomfortable. They're undesired. I really don't like labeling emotions as good or bad, positive or negative. But we know what we mean by that, right? The negative feelings are those that make us most uncomfortable. And so I couldn't be with hers because I couldn't be with my own. So when we talk about, you know, how do we deal with people who are negative? There may be, you know, various reasons why they're feeling this way. One of them, in if it's in young children, part of that could be their temperament. Some children do have a natural tendency for a more, you know, negative outlook. And that's okay. It's when we make that mean something about us or about them. Negativity is really neutral, but we wrap a story around it based on our experiences. It could also be that this person has a lot of stress, or maybe they're discouraged. And, you know, we have to look at, well, you know, so they don't have the feelings I want them to have. They don't have the attitude I want them to have. And we don't get to choose how other people feel. We don't get to choose what they're experiencing. And it's not about they need to change so I can experience something more comfortable. It's about what is the experience that I want to create for myself. Because if you believe somebody else is in charge of what you're experiencing, then you're in a drama role and it will create drama and chaos. So what if instead of, you know, trying to turn this around and make things positive, what if we learn to respond to what's negative? And really actually responding to how they actually feel. And what I mean by that is not, we don't need to change it. So we can listen. How do I handle negative, somebody's negativity? One, you could listen, just listen, and validate their experience and just have empathy for it, which empathy is listening without the need to change it. It's understanding what that feels like. I have felt that before too. And not without taking it on as your own, just understanding and listening again without the need to fix it. And, you know, sometimes we'll say things like, well, they're so negative about, you know, just silly things or little things. And that's our perception, our judgment of that. It might be a big thing to them. So just believing that this is real for you, and also believing that you will figure this out. It might not be right now, but you will get there. You will figure this out. And there might be another situation where you can just remove yourself from the environment. You maybe, you know, this is a, you know, an energetic boundary that you don't have to take on other people's energy. And you need to decide what that means for you. Does it mean I need to, you know, walk away? Does it mean I need to go for a walk and process this? You know, whatever you need in that situation, if you can't stay with that person and hold that space for them, hold that empathetic space for them. And you do have a choice. Sometimes we're like, oh, I don't have a choice. You do. You do have a choice. And energy is, what's the word I want here? Contagious. Energy is contagious. So you have to be very aware and intentional about what is the energy I want to be in, and honoring that. So sometimes we want to change somebody else's perspective. And that is putting yourself in the rescuer position, which again is a drama role. And it creates drama. What you're actually doing is rescuing yourself from the discomfort of undesired feelings. And oftentimes, again, this creates a feeling of, I'm not being heard here. You're dismissing how I feel. And so it creates this feeling that I'm wrong for the way I feel. And when we get the message that our feelings are wrong, we create this belief that I am wrong. Not that I did something wrong, but like my being is wrong. Like there's something wrong or flawed about me. And in the case of children, you know, if we're always trying to change their perspective, they get the feeling that, you know, no matter what I say or how I feel, it's always wrong. It's never the right thing. And that impacts the relationship. It puts fractures in the relationship. And it creates distrust. So our kids stop talking to us. They don't want to talk to us because every time they bring something up, we try to turn it around. So this is just really being with whatever it is they do bring. And just being able to say, oh, tell me more about that. That sounds really tough. Tell me more. What do you think? What do you want? What do you think would be helpful? I believe you. I see how upsetting this is for you. And I know that you're going to figure this out. You know, and it just depends on what the conversation is, where you can, you know, really step into, rather than the rescuer, the opposite of that is actually the coach. And that the coach comes with curiosity. So just opening up to being curious and listening more than you're saying and letting them know, I'm here to support you. And it's really empowering for our children to know that they can trust themselves, to feel these uncomfortable feelings, have these experiences, and be able to work through them in their way. And if they need support or to talk through a solution, that they know they can come to us. I mean, I think that's what we all really want. So, three things to remember. Believe them, validate their experience, and hold empathy. Just listen, and without the need to fix it, and be curious. All right, that's what I have for you today. Have a beautiful week, and I'll see you back here next week. Bye, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show or previous shows, I would so appreciate you subscribing and leaving a review. I am so grateful for all of you listeners who are joining me here for these conversations, because I believe it's through these type of conversations that we start to shift the paradigm, creating a more loving and compassionate world. I hope you will join me here each week as we discover new ways to show up in our lives and create a bigger impact. And if you are ready to take this to the next level, head on over to my website at dianesorensen.net. Again, that's dianesorensen.net. Get on my calendar and see how you can be supported and if we're a good fit, so that you can get out of survival and into thrival. Change is possible, and I've got you.